Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani, and I'm joined today, and always, with the rather intrepid David Cohen.
Intrepid?
Yes.
That's a new one. Well, I like it.
Thank you. That's like adventurous, heroic, valiant is what that means. And that's why that music is there, which was, can you recognize that music? What was that?
That's from Game of Thrones, Doug.
No, it's not.
It's from... Everything Old is New Again. It's a
exactly.
new theme to our show.
Because we're full of adventure this week. This is an adventurous show because, and that's, of course, from Indiana Jones.
Right.
And we are going to dive into Everything Old is New Again, which is the name of our show. And we're kind of garnering a little bit of interest here from the nation, if you will, because we now are being broadcast over 23 states. We're in 23 states.
That's
a bunch
cool.
of stations in 23 states. Not so bad.
23, that's almost half of the country.
Exactly, we're getting there. And we're growing, continuing to grow, and I figure it's time to pause, because we've been doing this for quite some time. We're almost reaching our 100th show.
That's amazing.
Point. Yeah, so it's time just, I think, to pause and take a look at our entertainment pop culture and how it has affected us, and even like why we're doing the show. How did we get to where we are? Why are we on the air? And
why do we
us?
Continue to do it?
And why do we keep knocking on your door, so to speak, with the radio and bugging you with all these topics of pop culture that we take every week? We examine the history and the foundation and the development of shows that are popular today or genres, and we try to figure out, hey, why is it still popular to this day? And of course, the theme is, there's nothing new under the sun. There are quirks. There are new takes on things. There are new people doing them. But, you know, zombie stories, for example, have been around forever and so forth. So hopefully you're enjoying that. I think not only with talking about pop culture on this show, and we do use a lot of clips, as you'll hear and have heard in the past, I think since the topics change every single week, I think it's important for you, the listener, and I'm breaking down the fourth wall. Or is there a fourth wall, actually, in radio? It's really the second wall, right?
I have no idea.
Well, they say, you know, when you're on stage, you got three walls, and you're looking out to the audience, right?
Right.
And you never actually talk to the audience in person.
Right.
And then they say, well, if you're going to turn to the camera like they do on Modern Family, you're breaking down that fourth wall and talking directly to the audience.
But we are talking directly to the audience.
Well, so but that's... our show is you and I talking to each other. We don't necessarily call out the audience, per se. Does that make sense?
No.
But now we're turning the camera to, whether it makes sense or not, the camera or the microphone to the audience and saying to them, listen, this is who we are. And if you like the show, I'm going to presume not only do you like the topics, but in some way you have some affinity to Dave and I and the chemistry and what we're doing on the air, I would presume. Like, you know, just because you like Walking Dead and we do a show on zombies, if you didn't like the hosts and what they were saying, I don't think you'd stick around to hear a quote from Rick Gaines killing a zombie. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So
you have to like us out there, listeners. You have to.
Well, we would hope that you do. And if you do, by the way, please call your station, email your station, tell them you like our show.
Or you like our show, but you don't like us. Either way, we'll take
it. Exactly. Just don't call them and tell them to take us off the air.
Right.
I don't care what you say positively, but say something positive. And like my mother said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Just remember that before you send the email.
Be polite.
We could use the help. We really are enjoying what we're doing. We'd like to continue to do. And if you want to see us continue to do it, feel free to contact us, and we'll send it off to a local station if you like. And that's at oldnewagain@AOL.com. Oldnewagain@AOL.com. And if you missed any past shows, if you're a new listener, feel free to go to our website, everythingoldisnewagain.biz. Everythingoldisnewagain.biz. And we've got probably 90 of the 100 shows already listed there to re-listen to what we're doing here. Now, Dave and I have a personal history. We go back to high school, believe it or not.
That's right. Doug is the only person I allow to call me Dave. It's true.
Yes, because it's David everywhere else, right?
Right.
And you're the only one that can call me Doug because it's Douglas everywhere else.
No, come on.
It is?
Come on now.
Well, it is.
Really?
I
Does Juliana, does your wife call you,
you
Douglas?
Know, we had this discussion before I get married. And my wife said, you know, what should my family call you, my brother and aunts and uncles and whatever? And I said, Douglas. And they said, oh, but I call you Doug. I said, well, you know, I prefer Douglas, especially in writing, I prefer Douglas. In talking, it kind of doesn't matter to me, you know, that much. Short, okay. Doug is short, and that's fine. But they all, she relayed that back to them in the beginning, and they all call me Douglas all the time, which I respect and appreciate. It's like my daughter's name is Angelica, right?
Right.
And she's 6 years old. We have a problem, I'm going to say, an epidemic in Juliana's, my wife's side of the family. They love nicknames. No one calls anyone their name in that family.
Yeah, I know the type of family, yeah.
Drives me insane.
It's
now
crazy.
Angelica's name is Jelly.
Jelly?
Grandpa's calling her, or I should say Poppy's calling her Jelly. Nona's calling her Jelly. Nona's not Italian, by the way, but she wants to be called Nona. okay. And Booty, which is his brother, calls her Jelly.
Booty.
And nobody could be your real name. So right. It drives me insane.
What do they call you?
They call, and that's the whole thing. And it's like, Booty, could you get me something? Oh, sure. And the other one's like, name is Beige. Okay, Beige, I'll get that. Okay, how about, what do they call Juliana? They call, I forget.
Well, Jules.
Jules, okay, Jules. And they have other names. They've got like two or three names per person. And put the Christmas tree up and everything. And then finally you go, Douglas, would you like something? Sounds ridiculous, you know. But that, I mean, so whenever, and it's funny because if you could give me some advice, anyone, let me know. How do I get them to stop calling her Jelly? I've told Angelica, and she does it. She says, "Oh, my name is Angelica." Or whenever they say Jelly, I'll say, "Do you mean Angelica?" Or I'll say Angelica. I'll repeat what the person said, but they don't get it. They love these names. Listen, maybe it's endearing. They say it's endearing. I find it great.
I think what's going to happen is as Angelica gets older, I think they're going to be less inclined to call her Jelly.
They're still calling their 35-year-old son Booty.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe
and
not.
And the 70-something old mom is Beige.
Beige? And what is
or
Beige?
Or Nona. And
but is there any relation between, like, what does Beige mean? What's her real name?
Beige, what I understand, if I remember this right, was they used to go boating and the sound of a either the foghorn or of a buoy sounded like to a little this child, when she was a child, like Beige. And so she repeated the word Beige a couple times.
And that became her name.
That became her name. So we'll extend this. We'll have some fun on Everything Old is New Again. And I hope that some of this kind of refreshes your memory of what maybe might be your little foundation,
right.
Breaking down the fourth wall to the audience.
Can I just ask you a question? Getting back to your family for a minute, could it be that you're a little jealous or ticked off that they don't have a nickname for you?
Is that absolutely not, because the nickname would probably be like Goopy Boopy. I'm really not into it.
Goopy Boopy.
We'll be back on Everything Old is New Again.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. Right now, I'm holding a book that could change your life. It will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and you worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at the age of 80, well, you need to read this free book. The reality is, you'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-686-6931. Are you skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-686-6931. That's 1-800-686-6931. 1-800-686-6931.
This show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need of a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani.
If you want to register your own .com and are looking for a responsible, sustainable, high-quality domain name registrar, then look at Pernick.com. Pernick includes a ton of value-added services like a parking page, Whois, privacy, dynamic DNS, and much more with every domain name registration at no extra cost. Not many companies can say that. So give Pernick.com a try today. Pairnic.com.
Now, back to America's Entertainment Pop Culture Talk Show. Everything Old is New Again with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. That, of course, is Dan Aykroyd from...
The Blues Brothers.
Yes, 1979. Now, that's from their album, Briefcase Full of Blues. Do you remember that album?
I do.
1979.
It's the only thing you and I musically never, and comedy-wise, never really saw eye to eye on.
Right, exactly. Because that came out when we were in high school.
Yes.
And even though you didn't see eye to eye on it, we did, what happened was we drafted, let's back up.
We found a commonality, though. Right.
It was one of the first things, and it developed into something bigger, which we'll talk about later on in the show. But this was the germ of an idea. Well, we had like a talent show in high school. They all do this like competition night, the seniors as the juniors and whatever. And we were in we were a junior. What would you call it? 11th grade,
right.
So that came out. And
yep.
That.
It was big. It was big in high school.
Now remember, that combined two things for us. That was Saturday Night Live, as you remember, of course.
Right.
The original show with the original cast. I think that was the third or second year of that show. And we were enthralled with that show. So there was the comedy, you know.
Yes.
We shared that. And everything that's in the first two or three years, let's say the first hour of those hour and a half of those shows, we really got a kick out of it. It was much different than it is now.
Yes.
Hate to say it. I don't want to put it down. You know, there's been some incarnations of Saturday Night Live that have done terrific with Billy Crystal and lot of different incarnations, a lot of different Phil Hartman, a lot of different times, Will Farrell. I mean, you can go on and on. Right. There's tons of.
But at the time, it was hot. It was everybody talked about. Everybody watched.
It was probably hotter than any of those times, I would say. And certainly
right.
Now, I think it's kind of dead. Maybe they're rebuilding it now, which they do every so often. But that was at the peak. Now, all of a sudden, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, who were comedians to us, came out on stage. You remember the first time they came on stage?
Yeah, I do.
I thought it was a joke because they
right.
never did anything serious. It was a joke to me. I hadn't heard nothing of this. Meanwhile, they had practiced this act on the in the Hollywood Bowl and in other venue on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. on their breaks because Dan Aykroyd, who now owns, you know, the restaurant he owns.
Yeah, it's
House of Blues. He owns that, owns all of them, and he started that because he loves blues, and he got John Belushi into blues. And Belushi said, well, why don't we do this? And Aykroyd's like, well, we're comedians. We're from Second City TV. He's like, well, why can't we, and, you know, why can't we do this? And they're like, well, John, you don't really have a great voice. He's like, it's the blues. You don't have to have a great voice. So all of a sudden it took off. And after, I think he did Animal House first as a movie.
Right. Yes.
And then they started to widen their horizons, start to think about what are we going to do after Saturday Night Live? And boom, there they come on, I think it was 78 when they came on.
On the show, on Saturday Night Live, as the Blues Brothers.
Soul Man.
Right.
Dressed up in the outfits and all that. In the beginning, I'm waiting for a joke, and sooner or later, I just started to get into the music. And I really wasn't that into the blues, per se. I mean, are you even, to this day, you're probably not.
No, I like the blues.
Okay.
The problem I had with the Blues Brothers was that, why don't you go listen to the original blues artists and those songs, which were done a lot better. But
well,
anyway.
But he answered the question in that intro, which I think is brilliant. So you think about that intro was 79.
Right.
And he's talking about how you're not going to hear the blues anymore. If you want to hear it, you're going to have to go to the library and take out the record from the library.
No, they did the genre a real favor. Absolutely.
Because people finally said, hey, and it revitalized the genre. There were blues clubs and jazz clubs that on Long Island sprouted up out of nowhere. And of course, in the city, there was the Blue Parrot, the Red Parrot, and a couple others that were very popular. Blues and jazz that kind of go together, clubs that came out of this because it became so popular. And who's the little trivia question, if anybody knows, I'm going to ask Mike, our rather younger producer, who is the piano player for the Blues Brothers? Any clue?
He was
on television after that for about 25 years.
Oh.
As a sidekick to a late-night talk show host named David Letterman.
Oh.
You know.
Schaefer.
Yeah.
Paul Schaefer,
believe it or not, was the original sound. Well, he's a piano player, but he also was the, I don't even call him a conductor, but whatever, the musical arranger for the Blues Brothers. Anyway, we started that, so what did we do? We did that with a friend of mine, was the other part. I was the Dan Aykroyd part. And Dave is a tremendous musician, which I found out just through that. I don't know how it came about, actually. We just kind of had this idea that we were almost going to do
it. I had a band, and I...
Who was
got,
in the band?
I got rid of a guy in the band so that you could be in the band.
Right.
I had no idea whether you could play anything, but I said, all right, Doug's got to be in the band.
Now, when did your band start? Before the Blues Brothers or thereabouts?
Yeah.
Now, who was in that band? I mean, what kind of instruments did you have? You had a drummer?
Well, we had a keyboard.
Right.
We had a drummer. We had a lead guitar.
Right.
And we had me. I played bass.
And what did you guys want to do? What was the music? Were you writing music? Was it pop?
Yeah, we wrote music. We did covers of mostly... you know, like, not, I want to say punk, but more alternative music.
Okay.
Alternative rock.
Let's call it new wave. I think people might know it more from
that. Yeah, that sort of thing. Police and...
fun punk, not
right.
Or nice punk. No,
right.
Punk without the tattoos and the piercings and the cursing.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I don't know, long story short, if that's possible anymore, it's not. We're so long into the story. We needed a band to support the Blues Brothers. So the two of us came together, coincidentally, I'm going to say, and one asked the other, I can't recall, to be the background to the Blues Brothers.
Right.
Before we talked about any kind of band performance. So you did that, and it was highly successful in our high school.
Yes.
And people loved it and so forth. And then we said, well, what are we going to do next? What's this all about? And then we found out that I sort of played the piano. I had learned it. I have really no aptitude towards it. I have to read every note that I play, but I can like a computer.
You got by.
Kind of play it, you know.
Definitely.
And but it was a struggle, I have to admit. But I at least was able to fake it. And and Dave is a natural talent who has this ear for music that that you see all musicians have that are real musicians, where they could just, oh, that's an A when they hear a note, you know. You do that, like you hear a song, you kind of know, or at least if you have a guitar in your hand.
Yeah, I could pretty much tell, or just give me a second and I can figure it out.
And you see, so if you're playing a song on, let's say Yesterday, and it's the first time you heard Yesterday and from the Beatles, and you wanted to imitate it, you could take the guitar out and kind of, in a couple of minutes, get through at least the chords of what it is.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so that's an amazing, amazing talent to me. Anyway, so we then started a band thereafter called...
The News.
With a Z.
With the Z, because, you know, it was like kind of punkish.
Right. And we always tried to play like the big venues. We did like, you know, Sweet 16 parties, or we did the junior high school.
Middle
school
circuit, right. Right.
You know,
we did that circuit.
And I remember doing one party. Remember this one party? Doug D's party.
I remember it well.
And we rehearsed for this, and we played The Cars Were Big at the time. And our best song was The Cars, Just What I Needed, right? Remember that song?
Yeah, sure.
And I thought it was our best song anyway, at the time.
It was one of them, yeah.
And so we get out there, we go, we're going to start with our best song, guys. And this is at the...
It was at a party, it was outside.
His Sweet 16.
In the
great
backyard.
Beautiful venue, there's a pool, I think. There was beautiful grass. We had set up our equipment, and the drums are going. How exciting this is. It's going to be a band. And this is not a time when there was rap or any kind of music other than bands. If you wanted to hear music at a party, you're going to, you know... Maybe you pump in through some outside speakers, stereo of, the FM station.
So we get finished with our great opening song.
We do it.
And we play the last chord. Bam, bam, bam.
Right.
And then what happens? Go ahead. You tell them.
I hope you guys are just warming up. That was the audience reaction.
No applause, nothing, just the one guy looking at us saying that.
And we knew probably, I think, like 8 songs altogether. And at that point, we were like, okay, we got 7 more to go, and that was our best. We're in trouble.
I don't remember the rest of the night too much, but I think we plodded through.
But we didn't give up, and I think that's part of the message. I mean, we continued to plod through. That was our first experience, and then we ended up playing... local club here and there, not for any money and not for too much success, but we had fun doing it, and Dave wrote a number of terrific songs that you'll eventually hear as we proceed through our show, little bits and pieces of it. Anyway, we'll come back and take a look at what he's got in mind when we talk about Dave Cone's originals.
Story of it.
Hey, Charlie, why the arm in the sling?
Yeah, I walked straight into that busted street sign in front of Frank's Automat.
Well, you must have been really sore at him.
You said it, pal. I said, say, what's a big idea making a fella trip out there? I was going to sock him right in a kisser.
He's all wet. Why, you ought to sue him, Charlie.
I have half a mind to do just that. But where am I going to get that kind of dough?
Say, I know a fella just got me out of a big jam, and he didn't break the bank.
You don't say.
Yeah, the law office of Douglas Viviani.
The law office of Douglas Viviani?
That's right, the law office of Douglas Viviani.
Viviani.
That's what I said, Viviani.
He a straight shooter?
He's a cat's meow.
He's on the up and up?
Doug's ace is with me.
Isn't that so?
He's a bee's knees.
Well, that's just swell. You have his number?
You can call him at 631-681-1910 or email him at ViviniLaw.com.
Wait, what was that last part?
What, email?
Yeah, what's email?
ViviniLaw.com.
Pop quiz for all business owners. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business, which one of these can you lose? Your home, your car, or your life savings? The answer? All three. Because if you're not incorporated, it's not just your business that can be sued, it's you too. Which means you could lose everything. Once business owners realize the risk of not being incorporated, they usually scramble to incorporate or form an LLC. To make it quick and easy, Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation guide to all business owners, so you can incorporate in just 10 minutes. For your free 10-minute incorporation guide, call now, 1-800-915-1027. Protect your financial future. At Incorporate.com, they don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. Call now for your free 10-minute incorporation guide, 1-800-915-1027. Hurry while supplies last. 1-800-915-1027. That's 1-800-915-1027.
Anyone can create a podcast on the web. In fact, there are millions of them online. But if you want quality internet talk radio, just remember this address, TalkZone.com. TalkZone is internet talk radio for planet Earth with talented hosts, great guests, and good conversation. Ready to share your thoughts and ideas with a global audience? Become a TalkZone show host yourself. Learn more at TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio for planet Earth. TalkZone.com.
When you're looking for a job, changing your career, or applying for a promotion, your resume is the first thing seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com for a free online review. You'll receive a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let us make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. That's ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
Now, back to America's Entertainment Pop Culture Talk Show. Everything old is new again with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
You are listening to Everything Old is New Again with Doug Viviani and David Cohen. Is that right, Bob?
I know.
Dave and Doug.
Dave and Doug. Yeah, they'll do.
Okay.
Welcome back to the adventure of Everything Old is New Again. That was Jay Johnson from Soap, by the way, if anybody hasn't recognized that. Yeah, Chuck and Bob. And he's got a great one-man show that you can pull out the disc for. That was a Broadway show that they it's called The Two and Only. Or is it The One and Only?
The Two and Only.
The Two and Only. Yes.
Right.
The Two and Only. And he was on our show for an hour, speaking about ventriloquism. I thought it was a great show.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Check that out. He's really good. And he's a friend of the show, we could say.
Yes, he is.
And he's even a friend on Facebook. And by the way, Everything Old is New Again is on Facebook too. Befriend us. Follow us. The more that we get on that.
I think it's actually friend us, not befriend.
Befriend
us.
Shows my generational issue. I was just befriended by somebody. What do I do?
I have been befriended. Hurrah.
Now, we just left off. We were talking about the news a little bit there and how we had
our
difficult
band
start.
Yes.
We just kind of being a little introverted today, and rather than talk about pop culture in general, which is normally what we do, and we take a look and see what effect pop culture has us on as around all of us, we're going to kind of look at it as to how it affects and did affect us, and so therefore why are we even doing this show. We were almost at a show number 100, so it's time to kind of,
and we're going to get to that.
Yes, we're putting ourselves on the couch at some point,
right,
and we're going to figure it out. But before we do, let's listen to and see if we can recognize. It's a little muddy because this is a cassette tape from 1978 or 79, cassette tape, one reel, and it recorded a song.
The demo we did two original news songs.
It was actually a four-track demo.
Four-track? Really?
All together.
Oh, four, okay.
Yeah, four
two songs.
Four microphones in the studio on each of the amps, if that makes sense. Now they do, I think 64 at least is probably 118 tracks when they do music now, if it's a band.
But we played it all together. It wasn't like we dubbed the drums in later, additional vocals. It reminded me of, it reminded me of the Beatles doing, their first album.
Well, and also you see it in Hard Day's Night when they go, when they're doing If I Fell in Love, I think it is. I think it's when they're all recording in the studio all at once. That was Help. And they hear the saw and Ringo falls.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, that's what
it was. But it was all one take, basically,
yes,
is what we're saying.
Exactly.
One take.
So
that's an excuse.
And it doesn't sound great because the quality's not great. But let's just see if we get a feel for She Was a Jap. I know we can go on forever with that, but I just wanted to.
The sound quality is awful, of course, but we were pretty good. I mean, it was a tight band.
It definitely was. That incarnation, there were a couple of, we made some changes here and there, but that incarnation was tight, and you could hear this little 16, 17 year old voice. She was a jap. And if that was me.
That was Doug, and the overwhelming
right,
keyboard sound
dang,
was also Doug.
Right.
Not as bad as I remembered it.
Yeah, and the bass was you that you heard in the beginning, and the vocals were you, and you wrote the song.
Right.
Which became a crowd favorite. It really did. People, when we played live, if anybody
politically,
was listening.
Politically incorrect as the title was, let's not go back to
Jewish American Princess, right? And it was a big thing back then.
I'm Jewish, so I was allowed to do that.
And we were in an area where people were good-natured. It wasn't, the era was different, I think. It was taken in a good-natured way. No one got offended. It wasn't,
Like
people throwing apples at us, or cherries or tomatoes, as for that reason. They may have thrown it at us for the quality of the music, but not for what we were singing. It was good natured, tongue in cheek. I remember that we had been written up in the local Good Times magazine.
Good Times, the ad newspaper said,
describing us, the line.
Oh,
it gave a review. It said, the live, what did it say? Wait,
something.
Great originals and the live shows are gas.
It's a gas.
Because in between
we would
talk like we do now in between songs and try to get people.
But do you remember that corny thing we used to do as the show opened?
Yeah, describe that. That was
so
terrific.
We would sit
first of all,
what
would we dress up as?
We had uniforms, right? And
black shirt, white pants.
Go figure. And then we would sit four or five of us in chairs in a row at the edge of the stage, reading, holding up. Actual newspapers, right? Because we were the news.
Turning the pages.
You get it, right? And then we'd have our
spotlight, if there was one, was on us.
Right. And then we'd have some offstage voice saying, ladies and gentlemen, hear now the news.
No, it's 10:15. Hear now the news. I forget they used to do
even
the time.
Even cornier, right. And then what do? We just put the newspapers down.
That was the problem. The segue.
Transition.
We had to put the papers down, move the chairs, and
make it all this noise.
Go to our instruments, and then start up. The idea was a great idea, and I think it was mine, I have to say.
I'm sure, yeah.
And if you were able to cut and then cut right to the song, it really would have worked.
Right.
But
right.
It didn't. And we did it every show. And I remember there was one time I had these maracas, these things. These things for the doors use these two pieces of wood that you click together and make a sound.
Claves.
Claves. And I remember I had them in my pocket. And so as I got up.
Was that what was in your pocket?
Yeah, claves, I'm not happy to see you. And the claves fell out, and you hear them. And rolling on the ground, and I needed them for the first song. I had to chase after them.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was West Hollywood.
But do you remember, can I just say one other thing? When at junior high school, we would finish every song that we finished, right? And we did covers of popular songs of the day.
Yes.
And there
and
was
the
one
originals.
Junior high school, middle school we did. After every song, there would be this one girl. Do you remember what she said after every song? Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Billy Joel. And we would just say, I'm sorry, we don't know any Billy Joel. Really sorry. And then we'd play another song, you know, dun, 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 Billy Joel. And we don't know any Billy Joel. I'm really sorry.
I'll reenact that. We're going to play now our, this is live now, another song called The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
A little piece of the live Twilight Zone.
That was the news live.
Yes.
And then I'm surprised they could hear us over the screaming girls.
And then you hear Billy Joel. Did you hear that trumpet going nuts? He was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that Dave?
I don't think
Dave?
So. No, I think Dave was more understated.
Yes.
He was really good, but it was the second guy, yeah.
Which we had to replace drummers because our drummer went on to college. And unfortunately, we've missed him. We haven't seen him since.
He move? The first drummer moved to Florida.
Yes, and so he might be in one of our affiliates' areas. So I'm going to say, Dave F., if you're from the old news, give us a call. Everything old is new again. We'll be right back.
Because we're looking for a drummer. We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, because the second drummer was really strong. He was more like a Keith Moon type of guy.
Yeah, you could hear him. All these rolls again. Which was fine, because it was hard. It's hard to find a good drummer
yes.
for a band.
But he was like Keith Moon and the Beatles. It's like if the Beatles, here's an analogy, didn't have Ringo Starr, they had Keith Moon.
And sounded like us.
Yes. How would it have sounded? It would have sounded like that. Yesterday, it just doesn't really. You gotta kind of have a nice mix there. But he could make all the gigs, and he
very
was a
reliable.
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
I wish I remember that guy's name. Dave, I thought it was right.
Was it another Dave?
I'm pretty sure.
Was after. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We can't. Can we say their names on the air? No, it wouldn't be.
We could, without saying the last name, you know.
You know who you guys are.
Exactly. So give us. You know, Mike B, who was the guitar player.
Right.
I just located on Facebook. I got
really?
His telephone number, and I will be giving him a call.
Oh, that's awesome!
And maybe we, you know, have him stop by to release some more of these.
Our first guitarist.
Yes. And
then we had another one.
Yes,
who
Steve.
I thought had OD'd. I told that story, right?
No.
We have time. Maybe we'll do it on the other side.
30 seconds, so no. But he was a fellow from
Comac.
Comac,
New York.
How we got, you know, it was a different.
I think it was through a common friend or something recommended this guy.
So this is how it happens, and, you know, as you go along. But Dave and I stayed together through thick and thin on the all the trials and tribulations of the news.
All the band personnel changes, right. The original two stayed together.
Exactly.
For some reason.
we envision ourselves going on to bigger and better things, which we have done on Everything Old is New Again. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
The following is an incredible, life-changing free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing everything more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-956-1072. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear everything more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and even free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-956-1072. That's 1-800-956-1072. 1-800-956-1072.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome back. Everything Old is New Again. We are introspectively taking a look at Douglas Viviani and David Cohen this week, taking a look at where we came from, what we're all about, to hopefully build some affinity with you, the listener, to give us an idea who are these characters that are talking about.
Listen, if they came back after the commercial break, they must like us.
Well, they could be riding in the car and made a mistake. They changed the dial and, hey, what's this about? They're not talking about, because we have a show on Frankenstein. We did a show on Dracula. We did a show on best sitcoms of all time. Who are these characters? What's it all about?
Right. Who are we?
Right. So here we are.
We still haven't answered the question, but in an indirect way, we're trying to, we're trying to
lay the groundwork
the
as we always do first. The history first, and then we bring it forward. Now, that was The Police, a band that came out late 70s that Dave, I think, found. I remember listening for the first time.
I discovered
time.
Them, yes.
You discovered them for me, anyway. And you were playing Roxanne was the first song that I heard play in your house.
Really?
Or practice one day or something. Huh. So that was that. But getting back to, we'll get to the music. We're going to turn back a little bit towards the comedy sensibilities. Not to say that we're so hysterical, but it's just
what we laughed at. Right.
And when we were hobnobbing with the upper class in our school, or fellow students, if you will, we used to try to, be lighthearted with what we did. We weren't the serious jock that we'd walk around.
No, just to set it up for you, Doug was one of the most well-liked guys in high school, and I kind of latched onto his coattails. But Doug was funny. He was affable. Everybody liked Doug, no matter whether you were, the nerds, right? You had your typical classes in high school, your cliques, the nerds, the jocks, the potheads, everybody liked Doug. So you were sort of like everybody's friend, right. and there I was like, hi, I'm Doug's friend. Hey. That's kind of how it played out.
By the way, hi, I'm Doug. And by the way,
here's my sidekick.
I didn't think of it that way. I thought of you in the same way. I thought you had the same kind of relationship with people. And I think my attitude was something that was an innocent attitude that maybe is lost these days. I don't know. And I hope to teach my children this. Because I learned a lesson back then where at some point I fell into getting to know a couple of young ladies that were very negative behind the scenes. They would talk about, I would hang out with them and we'd laugh and have fun and whatever. And for maybe about a month or so, but I started to get on my nerves. I started, they would constantly, like, you know, look at this guy, he's this. Look at this guy, he's that.
Girls in high school, when you say young ladies.
Two girls in high school,
okay,
yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
And,
friends,
right. In our class. And they were, it really took me, this is early on in my high school career, so to speak, and I was really taken aback. Like, it started to affect me, because I started to now look at my friends differently. And this guy's cheap, and this guy's fat, and this guy's that. And it's really a bad way to live life that I don't think they even thought they were better, but they just thought that that was a way of communicating to the two of them and laughing, and that was their dynamic, and it was not my dynamic at all. And it's like the force. I mean, it's the dark side. It'll take you down a bad road. My attitude was completely different. I don't care who you are. This is maybe an immature attitude that I had when I remember this, thinking this was in elementary school. They have parents. They have a mom and a dad. What if I was bad to this child? What would their parents feel like? What if they were bad to me and made me feel bad? How would that affect me and my parents? Does that make any sense?
Like, no, absolutely.
I had an empathy for them and their familiar situation, and that they're a human being too. So why are we building these walls that you're a jock and everybody should be in categories? It's nonsense.
Right.
I felt we're all people, and I enjoy the diversity. And maybe some of that came from Star Trek, because they profess that as well. And I was a big fan back in the day. I don't know. But that's where it came for me. And if I had to give any advice, if anybody ever listens to this show years down the line, my children, for example, that's what I would say is, you know, don't make rules about people, the way they look or the way they act or what classes they take. Just like everybody.
That's funny. Because you never said that to me in high school or in the years after. But now, so I'm hearing you say this for the first time, but it makes total sense, because that's how you treated people in high school. You didn't look at anyone any differently because they weren't, you know, didn't have necessarily the same interests as you or what have you. And I think that's why you were well liked, because you didn't judge people.
We also would run around. We loved Second City TV. We found, I don't know who found it, you or I, but one of us found Second City TV on an obscure station, 11 o'clock at night on Friday nights, which is an odd night for a show to be on. Maybe even Saturday, but I think it was Friday, because I don't think it was in competition with Saturday Night Live. It had Eugene Levy. It had
John Candy.
It really was a hysterical show. And we stole this line from Bobby Bittman himself.
How are you?
Yeah, Bittman.
Bobby Bittman was this Borscht Belt comedian. He was a character that on the sketch comedy show. And he was
played by Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy.
From the American Pie movies. And
exactly. And that was his, you know, his catchphrase. How are you? He'd come on the show. And he was just not funny at all.
Right.
So, yeah, we co-opted that line, and Doug and I, because we were bored after school a lot, we would just hang around the school.
Well, we stayed after school. Like, just to be clear, school would be over whatever time,
like 2
o'clock,
right?
There's a bus that would leave at 3:15 for the people that stayed after for their activities.
And we didn't participate in any activities, but we stayed anyway.
Right, we called it a nice period.
To disrupt the activities that were happening.
Right, or in a good nature.
In a good nature. Our goal was to sit in on an after-school activity and get thrown out. That was the ultimate goal. So we would go up. One of the things we used to do is there was a school band practicing, and this high school was just a one floor, for the most part, one floor, high school. So you could walk up outside the window.
Right.
When they had the windows open, and Doug and I would just jump out, wait for the song to be over, jump out in front of the band room and just go, "How are you?" And the band teacher would get irate, but they, after a while, what happened? They used to wait for us. They waited.
Yeah, we heard that they would wait and wait and wait. And eventually, like a month in, the band teacher had, like, knew that it was going to happen, and had the local security of the school basically escort us off the premises at that point in time. We'll be back at Everything Old Is New Again. Actually, number 8 would be fine. We'll be right back. Well, that's fine, too. Those of you who are still with us on LI News Radio and the podcast, what would happen? We get thrown out from saying, "How are you?" But all the kids in that the band knew us then. We didn't know who they were.
No, we didn't know who they were.
From that point on.
Right. They knew, and they would wait for us, and they would laugh, and, you know.
But then you'd walk in the hallway, like, you know, that month or the month after, whatever, and people would be saying hello, and you'd say hello back, and you'd try to get to know them, but you didn't even know who they were, but they knew us from the two idiots are saying, "How are you?" And then later on, they developed this show called Everything Old Is New Again, where they look at pop culture and how it affects you and how it affects us and what it's all about. We'll be back next week to continue more introspective discussion of David and Douglas Vianney.
Do you use a CPAP device for sleep apnea? Are you tired of dragging your bulky in-home device everywhere you travel? Then you need to know about Transcend, the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It lets you sleep in total comfort anywhere you go. And right now, you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-946-9857. Transcend from MiniCPAP.com is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can sleep comfortably even while flying. Transcend is our smallest, lightest, and most portable mini-CPAP design ever, offering all the performance of a bulky standard in-home device. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day in-home trial. 1-800-946-9857. Again, that's 1-800-946-9857.
If you're looking for world-class website hosting at a fair price, ParaNetworks is your best choice. Founded in the early days of the web and still going strong today, ParaNetworks now hosts hundreds of thousands of websites for its demanding customers worldwide. Setting the standards for excellence, ParaNetworks is a technical support staff that's second to none. A highly stable company with top-of-the-line technology. ParaNetworks offers total reliability and flexibility for your website, and even a money-back guarantee. Whether you're a professional web designer or a beginner just getting your site online, ParaNetworks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Make the move today. Log on and learn more at Pair.com. That's P-A-I-R.com. Pair Networks, world-class web hosting at a fair price. Visit us at Pair.com. Pair Networks.